Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Sunday morning Sunday school lesson. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Good to be here this morning. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians. How do you study the Bible? How can you learn something from the Bible? Read it. Isn't that what I told you yesterday? Just read it. Just read it. God's Word is all sufficient. I remember in my days in Bible college, we had had a class. It was actually one of my favorite classes in out of any class I ever took, and that includes high school, doesn't matter. It was on the book of Romans, and we never had a test in that class. Never a test. We had to write, through the course of the class, we had to write about, I don't know, two or three essays on a particular passage out of Romans. And the final exam was, we had to go to the bookstore, the college bookstore, and buy this little book, this special book that had just had lines in it. And you were given a portion of scripture about two or three days in advance of the test. And when you came into class, you had to write I don't know if it was 500 or 1,000 words on this particular passage for your final exam. You had to write it in this book and so on and so on. And you had, I don't remember how many hours we had to do it. Well, I'm not a slouch. I'm not the best thing in the world, but I'm not a slouch at writing term papers. I did pretty good with that. And so that was one of my best classes. But one of the things that they wanted on these essays or these term papers, when you were writing out your essay on a particular passage out of Romans, you had to use at least 10 commentaries as references, as sources for information. So they introduce you to the world of Bible commentaries, okay? And that's kind of how you get to that point. You learn how to use commentaries, and so I don't know of too many preachers that don't go out and buy commentaries. And these things are expensive. So you buy these commentaries, and you study a little bit, or you read a passage, and you go to the commentaries, you get the commentaries out. Well, what is so-and-so? Now, here's the thing, okay? I understand that there's helps ministries, okay? There are ministries that are designed to help. This ministry, I like to think of it's a watchman ministry, but it's a help ministry in that I want to aid you, and I want to help you I'm going to help you study the Word of God. And I put it, I use this illustration here. Okay? You sit down to a nice, it's like we talked about a while ago, biscuits and gravy, sausage and eggs and hash browns, pancakes on the side. Amen. Sound good already. Okay? You sit down to a meal like that. We are sophisticated in this country. We don't pick our food up with our hands. Okay, I've been to Africa. Okay, they love to eat with their hands. That's all fine. Okay, but I'd rather keep mine in my pocket. And amen. But anyway, so we have a fork, we have a knife, we have a spoon if we need it, and we use those as a food delivery system. They're helps to the food. The fork and the spoon and the plate are not food. They're not food. You don't eat the fork when you get done with the plate of mashed potatoes. You eat the potatoes with the fork. You put the fork down, and it's the food that benefits you. So there are helps ministries out there that are enabling you or helping you, and they are delivering to you the Word of God. I'm in full support of that. I believe that God raises up teachers and preachers and pastors. Is that what you believe? Say amen. I believe that God raises them up. God said, I will send you pastors that will feed you. God, as a blessing, God would send good pastors to people. And so I believe in that. But you have to be careful, because what the pastors, what I'm saying right now to you, my words coming out of my mouth, my thoughts as I'm going through them are based upon the Word of God, but they themselves are not the Word of God. What I intend to do is help deliver the Word of God to you. And so am I capable of fallibility? Am I capable of making a mistake? And Gary's first one back here shaking his head. What do you know? No, just kidding. Gary gives one of those, amen. It's like, okay, whatever. Am I capable of making a mistake? Absolutely. In fact, every time I talk, I'm capable of saying something that probably is not quite right. When I do a Watchman broadcast, if I'm recording it, and then I have the ability to go after that and edit something out that was stupid, and I've done that before. Okay? So anyway, I got a Watchman coming out today. It's on what the Bible says, based on a sermon I preached here a few years ago. The sermon was called What Does the Bible Say? And it's about liquor drinking and alcohol, alcoholic beverages. Okay? Got a Watchman video broadcast coming out today on that subject, and I just deal with it from Scripture. Did I say everything right? As far in as where I read the Scripture, that's right 100% of the time. Did I say anything in that video that some people might question or somebody might not agree with? Probably so. Am I right on everything that I said? I wouldn't think so. Okay, I wouldn't think so. So you don't just say, well, Mike Hoggard said this. Who is my? It's like those devils coming out of Peter, Jesus we know, and Paul we know. Who are you? Okay, who is Mike Hoggard? No, but I'm a fork. Okay, I'm a fork. I'm a food delivery system is all I am. Okay? Here's the food right here. And what I'm going to teach you and what the Bible teaches you is how to know what this Bible says. How to study it. So that you get fed here on Sunday morning. You might like it. But you go home, do a little cooking for yourself. Amen? Feed yourself throughout the week. And this Bible shows you how to do it. So anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of who? God. Now, I want you to kind of just think about this. And by the way, one of the keys to understanding the Bible is meditation. Meditation, and I don't mean going into a trance and passing out and getting the heebie-jeebies all over the floor. I mean just pause and think about what the Bible says. Just let your mind, let the logical part of your mind analyze this verse. Analyze every word of it. Just look at it, think about it, and make logical conclusions. Number one, if the things given to us by the Spirit are freely given, would not then the Spirit also be freely given by who? Who gives the Spirit? God gives the Spirit. Man does not give the Spirit of God. Man does not do that. This is, you study the Scripture. You might be listening to me, might disagree with what I said, but if the Scripture says it, it doesn't matter who you disagree with. If the Scripture says it, it's right. And it's not waiting on you to be right to approve or disapprove. That's like that commercial. The Catholic Church gave us the Bible. No, they did not. Catholic Church has fought against the Word of God ever since their inception. As soon as Constantine waved his magic wand over Rome, said everybody here is Christians, and that's what he did, by the way. He went on an offensive war against the Word of God. And I don't want to get into all that this morning, but that's just the God's honest truth this morning. And so anyway, it says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. How do you define the Spirit? Well, I could, let me quote some scripture for you, and I'm going to turn in my Bible to John chapter 6. I like this. Let me quote from some scripture for you. For there are three that bear record in heaven. You see, God bears record. God bears record. God does not keep secrets. He does not hide things. He does not have, well, I've got something for this group over here, but for the rest of y'all, you're not going to get anything. That's not God. That there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, because that's what it says. The Word and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And so the Holy Spirit is part of what the Bible calls the Godhead. It consists of Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. I can't explain it better than that. I can't understand it or comprehend it better than that. That's just what it is. And one of the problems, here's one of the problems that you get into. This is where false doctrine comes in. And cult teachings and things like that. Where they will try to take a concept like the Godhead that is really beyond our total understanding, and then try to reduce it down so that you can understand it. I almost guarantee you that when you reduce it down, there's going to be a misunderstanding or a blatant lie about what the Godhead is. Okay? Especially when they start using man's words in order to do it. You got to be careful about that. Remember, that's the fork. You don't eat the fork. Okay? So anyway, that's the Spirit. How do we get the Spirit? Let's see here. Galatians. Let me look in Galatians real quick. I'm just going to tell you how you get the Spirit. Okay? Do you go to the Benny Hinn Show and get the Spirit? You go to Joyce and get the Spirit. You go to the First United Pentecostal Church of Fire and Signs Holiness to get the gospel, or you get the Spirit. No, Galatians chapter 3. Verse 2 says, this only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. You know how you get the Spirit? Through your ears. You know, because you know what the Spirit is? Let's identify the Spirit according to the Scripture. John chapter 6. In fact, turn there. John chapter 6. Verse 63. Now I'm going to show you something in the Bible. This is neat. You'll understand some things that's going on in this world. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. You know what that word means? It means to be made alive. Okay? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. How many of you can understand that? Is that pretty simple? Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Well, how many words did Jesus speak? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning. That right there is Jesus' words. He is the Word. Revelation 22, 21, the last amen of the Bible is Jesus. He spoke every one of those words. And so the Spirit is in operation when the Word of God is there. And so as I'm reading and as you're reading the Word of God, the Spirit now is entering into you. You want to get full of the Spirit? Read the Bible. Amen. Listen to some Bible-based preaching. Okay? That this Holy Ghost will begin to deal with you and to begin to teach you through that. All right? And this is interesting because if you look in verse 64... But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And then look at verse 66. And I always thought this was interesting. John 6, 6, 6. Okay? Man, I thought I was going to be able to do without this today. I thought I was going to make it. All right? John 6, 6, 6 says what? Read that verse. From that time, many of who? Many of who? His disciples. He wasn't talking about the Pharisees. He wasn't talking about the Roman soldiers. He wasn't talking about the heathens everywhere. He was referring to his disciples. From that time, many of his disciples went which direction? Back. And walked no more with him. So here's what I'm going to tell you. This, by the way, I don't know. This just looks like it fits in this particular verse. John 6:6. Right? And it just looks like it does. And so when I look at this verse, let's just break it down. Let's meditate on it. From that time, and what happened here? From that time, what did Jesus say? He said, my words are spirit and they are life. He's teaching the doctrine of the spiritual relationship that exists between the printed Bible and the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you, this is thus saith the Bible. That where no Bible is, there is no spirit. Now, if you can show me from the scriptures where my statement is in error, I will apologize for that. I will. Because again, I don't know everything. I'm not as smart, Dennis, as you think I am. He's laughing. Or I'm not as smart as my wife thinks I am. Wow. That means I'm incredibly dumb. Okay, but from that, here's Jesus, and he says, my words, the words that I speak unto you are spirit, and they are life. You want life in your, you want life in your existence? Get your Bible out. Yeah. How many of you know that? By the way, let's have a little testimony service. How many of you would say amen or raise your hand and know that at one day you were just dead and everything, and all of a sudden you opened up your Bible, and God gave you life again? Just have a little testimony time. Somebody say amen. That's how it works. Amen? And people are walking away from that. They're walking away from the one source of God's direct inspiration into your life. People are walking away from it. Church, disciples. You know what that means? Churches. Denominations are walking away from what he said, and they want no part of it. But they're not just shutting the preacher didn't wake up and say, you know what, I think the Bible's got errors in it, I'm going to shut the doors to the church. I think what they do, you know what they do? They keep going. Keep the doors open, but you always have to have a replacement. So here's what they do. They replace the written, published Spirit of God with signs, wonders, light shows, fog machines, guitars and drums, dancing girls on the stage. Did you know that? I watched churches are putting on these little dramas up on the stage as a replacement for just preaching. And one deal was this, it was this choreography thing of a woman set to this real nice pretty music in the church service. She was doing a little ballet around, and she was kind of looking like she was all alone and didn't have anything. And then this guy comes up behind her, and he's supposed to be Jesus. And he's coming up behind her, and then he puts his arms around her from behind. Now, that's not right. That is lasciviousness. And he's got his head over here on the small of her neck, and she's just eating it up. And you can just feel the lasciviousness coming out of this. I mean, I look at that and I'm going, I get that. This is why in the churches now are telling everybody, oh, you've got to have this intimacy with God. I don't see that word in the Bible anywhere. I don't see that word used to denote or define the relationship that I have with my heavenly Father. I don't see that in the scriptures. But I get what intimacy is. And it was acted out by this guy who's supposed to be God coming to her and put his arms all over her and got his hands all over her like that. And I'm going, I got it. I understand this. And that all is being used as a replacement for the written word of God. Okay? So here's what I'm going to tell you. Okay? You want to understand more about Jesus? Don't go to the Christian bookstore. If you're having problems in your life and you need help, don't go read Chuck Swindoll or Joyce. Amen? Or Max or Joel. Smiling Joel. Okay? Million Dollar Joel. Don't read those guys. Because they're going to take you in the wrong direction. Get your Bible out and start reading. I don't understand everything. Keep reading. Okay? Because I'm going to show you how this works. Okay? Here's the deal right here. So back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, says number one, we have received, verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. By the way, bookstores will charge you for their books. Okay? $19.95 for a book that Joel Osteen wrote, $20. Okay? $20 for a book for your love gift of $25. Okay, we'll send you this book. It will change your life. Really, if it's that great and that life-changing, why not just give it away? Amen? I can just see in my mind at a point in time where they will start charging people to walk through the door of a church. But not just the regular service, but I can see it probably already is happening where these big hotshot preachers are going to have some special meeting. They've got some big super secret that God has showed them that's going to absolutely revolutionize their life, and they can't live without it. And we're going to have a meeting now, and we're all we're asking is a $20 love gift to come into the door to help us. It's like paying to go to a movie. Okay? I can see that coming down the road. But anyway, so it says freely given. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. Be careful. I've even heard fundamental preachers who say, well, I just believe the King's End. I've heard them do this. If you're sitting there and the guy's preaching the sermon and he's not quoting scripture on a regular, consistent basis throughout that sermon, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm suspect of it. Number two, if during the course of that sermon they're telling you what Ronald Reagan said and what Winston Churchill said and what Henry David Thoreau said, and they're telling you what Mahatma Gandhi said, and they're telling you what Mother Teresa said, I'm telling you right there, that is man's wisdom. Man's wisdom is not, especially lost men. Lost men. Every now and then, I've heard things from other preachers that they've said that I thought was good. I'll try to take that every now and then, repackage that and give it out because I thought it was good. Okay? But when they start taking like Mother Teresa and I've heard them, Gandhi and Winston Churchill and Abraham Lincoln said this, I don't care. These are lost people. Okay? That sermon or that teaching is highly suspect to me. Something's not right there. Okay? In fact, the night that I got saved, I didn't go down to the altar and get saved because that guy quoted Mahatma Gandhi, and I thought that was really good, and I think I'm going to follow Jesus now because of that. If that statement was so good, well, how come Mahatma Gandhi didn't get saved? Amen? Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Who's your teacher? The Holy Ghost is. So you come to Sunday school, and you come to the Sunday service, and Sunday night, Wednesday night, you listen to everything that I do all week long. Okay, big deal. In between that, you take your Bible, and you get it out, and you read it for yourself. And you let the Holy Ghost teach you. That way, when the Holy Ghost teaches you something, it's there. And it's permanent. See, if I made the statement that I think all the men in the church ought to grow beards in order to be godly men. By the way, there's a movement around going around that says that exact same thing. Oh yeah, if you're gonna be God's man, you gotta grow a beard. Whew. My wife would hand me a bill of divorce. You ain't gotta kiss me. But if I went in here and told everybody, all you men got to grow a beard. If you're going to be a godly man, got to grow a beard. And you thought I was some boy, he's listening to God. He must be telling the truth. Did you know that if you left this church, you know what happened to your beard? I never did like that thing anyway. Yeah, right. And you'd shave it off because I'm the one that told you to do it, not God. And if I can tell you to grow a beard, some other preacher could come behind me and tell you to shave it off. You see that? I'm just making a ridiculous point. But you see what I'm getting at? If you do it because I said that's what you ought to do, that won't last. And I marvel at people that are writing into us and they say, bless God, we got rid of our NIVs and we're just King James Bible now. I praise God for that. But I'm telling you, if the Holy Ghost does not convict you and convince you that this Bible is the Word of God, when I pass off the scene one of these days, you know what you're going to go back into? You're going to go right back into what you used to be in. Because you built your faith and your trust and your ideas upon something that I said, not upon what the Word of God said. But, and if, in the course of you studying this Bible, the Holy Ghost then convicts you and burns it in your heart and puts it as part of the law of your life. It doesn't matter if I die off tomorrow and something happens to me and there is no Mike Hoggard and there is no more Reg Kelly and there is no more this and there is no more that. If every King James Bible preacher in the world fell off the face of the earth, you still believe that this is the Word of God because the Holy Ghost of God put that in you. So that's what I'm going to tell you. You get your Bible out and you let the Holy Ghost of God teach you things. You let the Holy Ghost of God deal with you through the pages of the Bible. And you compare spiritual things with what? Spiritual things. Let me get just a brief analogy of that. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Revelation chapter 13. Okay? Revelation chapter 13. Now, if you read the commentaries, and by the way, there's three primary ideologies on the book Revelation. There is the premillennial viewpoint, there is the amillennial viewpoint, there is the postmillennial viewpoint. The premillennial says that there is a whole series of events that will occur, the rise of the Antichrist and so on, and then Christ will come, reign for 1,000 years, deliver and all this stuff, and then that God will create a new heaven and a new earth. Okay, that's premillennial. Amillennial says what millennium? Okay, amillennial basically says we're in the millennium right now. We're in 1,000 years. Well, when it says 1,000 years, what? See, that 1,000 years, really, it doesn't mean that. And if you were as educated as we are, you would know that. Okay, that's the amillennial viewpoint. I don't subscribe to that. Don't believe in it. I think it's a bunch of hogwash. I think if you just look at the Bible and say, well, it says that, but I don't believe it. Amillennialism is based upon a lot of disbelief of what this Bible says. Postmillennialism says that, I don't even know what it says. There's a dominion theology that says that we are going to take over the planet for Jesus Christ and hand it to him as part of his reign. I don't believe that either. I think that's hogwash. Amen? I don't think it's right. And so anyway, if you pull a commentary, go to the bookstore, read a commentary, how do you know what viewpoint that guy wrote that from? Number two, how do you know who, I'd find out who this guy was. There's a guy out there, and I don't mind naming names. There's a guy out there named Irwin Baxter. Has anybody ever heard of him? Irwin Baxter. Okay? He's a big hot shot, hot rod guy that's doing prophecy seminars all over the place. Okay? And somebody gave me a video of his to watch years ago, and I looked at it. Boy, he said that we were already into the days of the blowing of the trumpets and had been for years. We just didn't know it till he showed up. Okay? And it just didn't sound right to me. But I mean, he has got followers all over the place, and I made a comment about him on Facebook, and buddy, I'm going to tell you what, they came out at me. Okay? You know who this guy is? He came out of the United Pentecostal group. You know who they are? United Pentecostal group says, Godhead, Schmodhead, there is no such thing. There's no Trinity. God is not three. That's a heresy. 1 John 5:7 should not be in the Bible. It was added there later by people who are all mixed up in their head, and we don't believe it. We believe that if you're saved, then you will speak in tongues, and if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. That's heresy. That's blasphemy. But this guy, Jim, goes around holding conferences, and you know what? He's trying to hide who he is. He's trying to hide the denomination that he comes from. Why? So he can make proselytes unto himself, disciples unto himself. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to hide that. Okay? So you go listen to this guy's teaching. You think, oh, wow, man. Wow, that sounds, you know. But I'm going to tell you something. The basis of his theology is wrong. And if he's got that, it'd be like if I asked Brady to go call one of his old elders at the J-Dub Hall to come speak to us and teach us something out of Bible. Should I do that, Brady? No. And I'm not going to. Okay? And that's why you have to be careful about pulling a book off the shelf and trying to get help from it. That's why you should be careful. Okay? Now, I know the bell rang, but I'm going to finish this. Let me just show you how this works. Revelation chapter 13. This is the beast that rises up out of the sea. He has 7 heads, 10 horns, 10 crowns. By the way, go to the Bible. Go to the Bible. Not the King James Code book that I wrote. Go to the Bible to find out what the number 7 means. Find out what the number 10 means. From where? From the Bible. And then the beast, verse 2, which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet was as the feet of a bear, and his mouth is as the mouth of a lion. Okay? Now, they say, now, the bear, of course, everybody knows the bear is Russia. Show me that. Right. You've just compared a spiritual thing with a worldly thing. Well, everybody knows that the dragon, of course, is China. Show it to me. Show me where this Bible says the dragon is China. Show it to me in here. Well, but everybody knows that. I don't care what everybody knows. Amen. Amen. Most everybody thinks Elton John's a wonderful human being. A little sodomite. Would you let Elton John babysit your boy? Everybody else would. Now turn to 1 Samuel. Chapter 17, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to compare spiritual things. I'm just going to teach you how to do it. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Here we have a giant by the name of Goliath. By the way, study giants in the Bible. And I didn't say study giants outside of the Bible. Study giants in the Bible. Okay, we have a giant named Goliath. Look at what David says in verse 34, 1 Samuel 17. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Here, the Bible's giving you a clue as to who this beast is. God is actually drawing a picture of him in the Scriptures. Study Goliath. Study giants. Find out where they came from. Find out what they're capable of doing. Find out everything that this Bible has to say about giants in the Bible. And then what you're doing is that the Holy Ghost is... Now you say, "But well, okay, I get that part, but what else is there?" Did you know that God is not going to give you the whole deal in one verse? He says in Isaiah 28, here little and there little. So you've got two things that are little and you've put them together. You know what you need now, Brady? Need a little more. Amen? And then a little bit more. It's like when you're making a stew. Okay? Taste it. It ain't there yet. What do we need? Boy, we're close. Need just a little bit more. And what God's telling you to do is make your life a habit of studying little pieces of the Bible. And what God's going to do, what the Holy Ghost of God's going to do, is that God himself is going to teach you things by you seeing one thing over here and one thing over here, and all of a sudden you connect it together. And all of a sudden you've got wisdom that the most esteemed scholars of the highest paid Bible colleges in the world will never figure out. They'll never get it. And you don't even have a doctor behind your name. Amen? It's right here. It's all right here. You read it. You study it. You study it on your own. That way, if I get up and I say, blah, you can come to me and say, Pastor Mike, blah's not in the Bible. Okay? And I know me well enough to know that if blah is not in this Bible, I can be and have been corrected. I'm not above it. Amen? I'm not above it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this book. This is it right here. Lord, teach us that. Give us a life habit of reading and study. And Lord, you're the one that's going to give us the knowledge. You're going to give us the understanding. You're going to give us the wisdom. God, these things come from you. But we have to read it. We have to listen to it. We have to think about it. Father, thank you for this way because God, I'm just at a time in my life, God, I don't trust too many people in this world. And the people that I do trust, God, I wouldn't trust them for everything. I'm not basing my life and my salvation on them, God. I'm basing my life and my salvation on you and you alone. God, put that in our hearts. Put that in our hearts, God. We're going to trust this Bible and nothing else. Thank you, God, for this Bible. Thank you, Lord, for teaching it to us. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.